mentioned. I heard her pray. In her prayer, there's a verse in Psalm that we looked at last Wednesday. Well, a few verses in Psalm 145. And verse 14, we'll start there. It says, "The Lord upholdeth all that fall, and raiseth up all those that be bowed down," or bowed down. Bowed, you know, bowed over. "The eyes of all wait upon thee, and thou givest them their meat in due season." You know, this is what God has said He will do. This is a statement of truth and promise to Him. And then it says in verse 16, "Thou openest thine hand and satisfies the desire of every living thing." What a great verse. You know, what a mind picture. You know, God has everything in His hand. And He doesn't hold it back. He just opens His hand and gives the desire of every living thing. You know, what is it that we need? What is it that we desire? You know, God's hand is open to provide that. You know, what a great promise. But more than it's a promise, and it's a statement of God's character and God's will, God's desire. You know, He doesn't hold anything back. We limit God by sometimes believing that He is holding something back. He has the ability, He has the capability to provide, to do anything. But sometimes people think that He isn't willing to do it for them. And yet here it says, you know, those that have their eyes fixed on Him and wait on Him, His hand opens and provides. You know, that is the will of God. For us to know that. Know that this is His heart. This is His character. This is who He is. The Lord, Jehovah. And then, because verse 17, "The Lord is righteous in all His ways and holy in all His works." The Lord is nigh unto all them that call upon Him, to all that call upon Him in truth. You know, with a sincere heart. You know, He is there. And His hand opens. You know, what a great thing to keep in mind. You know, that this is God, this is Jehovah, and He is our Father. You know, will He hold anything back from us? No, His hand's open for us. His hand is open to provide. And that really is what we need to set in our hearts and minds. You know, that this is who God is. This is what God desires. All we need to do is wait on Him. Put our eyes, set our eyes on Him. And then whatever it is that we need, whatever it is we desire, He will open His hand and provide. He will. This is what God does. This is what God desires to do. He wants to do. He wants for everyone to know that He is willing to do that. In Romans 4, this is what Abraham had to deal with and had to come to grips with, right? When he was made a tremendous promise. And this is, Abraham is used here in Romans chapter 4 to give an example of what it means to be justified by faith. You know, to have the righteousness of God by faith and not by works. And this is what made the difference for him. It says, you know, with the promise that God had made to him, chapter 4 of Romans, it says in verse 19, "And being not weak in faith," he was not weak in faith, "he considered not his own body," which literally the text is, he did consider his own body, "now dead, when he was about 100 years old, and," not neither, but it's not in the negative, it's in the positive, "and the deadness of Sarah's womb." This, he considered that. He looked at the reality, he looked at the promise of God, and which said to him, "I'm going to make you the father of many nations." And then he looked at his own body, dead, "and the deadness of Sarah's womb," dead. Not possible to do this. This is not possible. So he had two things. He had the impossibility of his flesh and Sarah's flesh, and the promise of God, which presented all the possibility in the universe to him. Right? One's possible, one's impossible. God says this is possible because he promised it. You, by your five senses, look at your flesh and realize that it's impossible. Okay, so what did he choose to do? He staggered, verse 20 says, not. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. He realized, you know, to stagger is literally to evaluate. To evaluate, you know, or to decide, you know, to judge something. And he chose not to judge this promise on his unbelief. He chose to judge this promise based on his conviction in God, his firm belief, confidence, trust that God made the promise. This didn't come from his mind. So he didn't look at this promise of God through the eyes of unbelief. He looked at it through confidence, through belief. He was strong in faith, believing, giving glory to God. Not to his own ability to do this, but he gave glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what God had promised, verse 21, what he had promised, he was able to perform. What about the hand of God opening and giving every desire to every living thing? How are we going to judge that verse of Scripture? Are we going to judge it with unbelief and say, no, that's not possible? That's not God's will. Or are we going to judge it with believing and be strong in that believing? Knowing that if God said it, if God made that promise, then He is able and willing to perform that promise. You know, and that's the basic fundamentals of everything that we see in the Scripture. When we read it, it seems so big and seems so huge at times. So, are we going to look at it in light of our own flesh and our ability, which actually lacks the ability to appropriate any of these things? Or are we going to look at it in view of God made the promise, and if He made the promise, He's able and He's willing to provide it? Because that's where we are empowered. The word to be strong in faith, it's empowered by faith. We're empowered. We're made strong. By faith in what? Faith in the promise of God. We're not empowered when we have faith in our own physical ability. That does not empower us at all. Everybody has the flesh. It has its limitations, no matter what flesh you seem to be carrying around. Doesn't matter. It's still, you could be, you know, you could be Tim Tebow. You could be Michael Jordan. Still has limitations, that flesh of yours. No matter how high Michael Jordan could jump, he still can't fly. Limitations to the flesh. But with the promise of God, all the limitations are done away. In Christ, they are all done away. And the desire of God to open His hand and grant every living thing their desire is appropriated simply when we come to that promise with faith and with confidence that God said it and He's able and willing to do it. All I need do is accept that reality. You know, that is the basis of our life. Every day, day by day, do I choose to walk in light of my own flesh or conduct myself in light of the promise of God? Right? The promise of God is that no matter what the situation, no matter what we're dealing with, no matter how difficult it may seem, no matter how much we're floundering and struggling, God says, look to me, I'll make you more than a conqueror. In Romans chapter 8, right? It says in verse 35, you know, who or what shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We're accounted as sheep for the slaughter. That was written in the Old Testament. That was a condition of Israel at times. They saw themselves that way at times. But it says in verse 37, no. No, and that contradicts that verse of Scripture, because now things have changed based on what Jesus Christ has accomplished. Things have changed drastically. In all these things, we are more than conquerors. We super conquerors, we are. Through Him who loved us. Not through our own flesh, our own abilities, but through Him who loved us. Gave Himself for us, right? And in God's eyes, we suffered with Him. We were buried with Him. We were raised with Him. We were ascended with Him. And now we sit with Him. Now we sit. And nothing on this earth can separate us from that love. And that is why, because Christ loved us, the Father loves us, and now we have what we need of them. Because it's love. So no matter what kind of situation we find ourselves in, I'm persuaded, verse 38, that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature. He's describing it in abstract terms to illustrate the reality that nothing shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And if God loves us, then He will provide those things that we need. He will do everything He said He is going to do. Right? Every promise of God in Christ is yea and amen. It's not a no sometimes and a yes sometimes. Every promise is yea and amen, it says. Every one. Pick one. It's yours. Why? He can't do otherwise. Because no matter where you find yourself, no matter what situation you find yourself in, whether it be at the end of a sword, whether it be, you know, at the end of the barrel of a gun, if it be in peril of any kind, God is there for you. And God loves you, and therefore He will make good His promises to you. It's just all about us saying, ah, okay. Will I discriminate in my acceptance of that promise and choose to view myself in light of my own flesh? Or will I choose to look at that promise as to who it's really coming from and whether or not He is capable of providing an answer, providing a manifestation of that promise? You know, it says back in verse 28, that we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are the called according to the purpose, His purpose. That's in the context of knowing that we have the Spirit of God within us. And as we use that Spirit, we know, and as we walk by that Spirit, we know. You know, it's what it says. We pray by the Spirit. You know, some people find themselves in really bad situations and they pray and they don't know what to pray for. I don't know how to pray to you, God, but I need some help here. It says the Spirit helps that infirmity, helps that lack of understanding and knowing how to pray. And if we implement prayer in the Spirit, then we know, we can be confident, we can know that it's all going to work out for our good. Because we've prayed as we need to pray. We prayed by the Spirit. in the Spirit, by speaking in tongues. See, these are things that God wants us to know. You know, we have the Spirit. That's why we can rely on that Spirit. That's why when we get in those situations at times, and, you know, sometimes we do, sometimes things are great, sometimes things aren't. You know? Sometimes people, you know, believers are persecuted. Sometimes they're not. In this country, they're not. I mean, they tell us not to say anything, not to speak, and yet we still know that if we do, we're not going to get in that much trouble. We're not going to get our heads cut off, like in some countries. But the point is that when people believe God and trust God and know who God has made them and know the promises that God has made to them, nothing shall separate them from the love of God. They can be more than a conqueror. That is what our lives are supposed to be. That is what we can be. That's the Word of God to us. You know? And it's not that difficult to appropriate. It's just a matter of believing. Believing where those statements come from. Come from the mind of Paul? That's a good way to put it. Yeah, I like that. No. Or does it come from the heart of God? And is it God's Word? So what cannot we expect God to do? But we need to expect these things. We need to expect that, okay, you know, no matter what's going on, I can be more than a conqueror. I know that God will open His hand and give me all the desires of my heart. He has the resources. He has enough to go around. To the countless number of people who cry out to Him, He has the resources to provide. But we must expect it, right? We must expect it as believing dictates. You know, if I believe something, then I expect it. Right? I expect it to happen. If I believe it, I expect it to happen. You believe there's going to be fellowship today? You get in your cars, you come over here. This is a very simple illustration. Come over here expecting there to be somebody and we have fellowship. We get up this morning, we believe someone's going to come. If it's not just Patty and I, someone else will come. We expect that. Because we believe that, so we expect. And we conduct our lives in light of that. This is what it talks about in Hebrews 11. Believing is the title deed. It's the evidence of things not seen. The evidence, they're yours already. Believing is the substance of things hoped for. The substance. It's the substantiation. How do you know that you have this promise of God? Well, because I believe it. So I expect it. I don't expect for there never to be a problem in my life. I expect that when there are problems, when the world does throw things in my way, I expect to be able to overcome them. Because I believe the promises of God. And that's our life. And I shared it Wednesday night at the Skype Fellowship that, you know, this is really what we work to accomplish. We work our minds and hearts to accomplish faith in God, confidence in Him. That's the only thing we're working toward. You know, we can't work to become more worthy of God's love or more worthy of Him blessing us. No. But we can make every effort to believe what He has said. And that's the real work of the believer. You know, to get to that point where we renew our mind, you know, often enough to get that new figure in our mind to accept and begin to walk in light of these great promises of God. These promises of God that exceed anything that we could ask or think. That's what we seek to do. That's what we seek to help others do. That's the greatest help we can do, is to encourage people to believe God, what God says. When someone comes to us and says, you know, I have a problem, I have this need or that need, Well, we encourage them to believe what God has said to them as their kid, as their child. You know, God says He'll provide that for you. God says He'll take care of that for you. There's nothing He's going to leave you twisting in the breeze about. He loves you, and nothing, no situation that you find yourself in separates you from that great love He has, that great concern He has for you. He'll take care of it. He'll do what He's promised He'll do. Just wait on Him. Just have your eyes waiting on Him. Then great things happen. That's when great things happen. That's what, you know, Abraham worked for a while to get his heart to believe that. But it doesn't describe Abraham as working to earn it. You know, because he found that all he needed to do was believe God. And that was accounted to him for righteousness. Just believe, and you'll see the fulfillment of your righteous standing before God by grace. Just believe those things, and you will see it. God will bless you. God will do miracle upon miracle. He'll move heaven and earth for us as we trust Him. The challenge out there in the world is to keep our eyes waiting on Him. Because our eyes get out there in the world and all they see is the world. Yeah. So praise God that He has given us His Word whereby we can actually see with our physical eyes Him who is invisible. And trust Him. Okay? So, Father, thanks for Your blessings. Thanks for the simplicity that Your Word describes in how we can appropriate such great things and see Your promises alive in our lives. Thank You, Father, for continuing to take care of every detail, that every concern that we have in our hearts, that You're caring about also, that You are just as concerned about these things as we are. Thank You that we can trust You and allow Your peace to rule in our hearts as we look on You. In the name of Jesus Christ, we thank You.